We have a very special guest today. Her name is Catherine Nick. She is a senior policy analyst in the Center for Health Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Her research is contributed on a regular basis at townhall.com and a magazine called Human Events. And she is an expert on entitlement reform and specifically on Obamacare. Ms. Nick, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We're talking today in the world about the European debt crisis, budget problems here at home, a presidential campaign, yet nothing really seems to be more ominous as Obamacare is. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, I certainly agree. Obamacare definitely takes our healthcare system in the wrong direction, and if we're going to solve the problems facing the healthcare system, everything from reform of entitlement programs like Medicare and Medicaid to fixing the federal tax treatment of insurance and bringing down costs and improving access, we've got to repeal Obamacare and start over new.
Tell me this. What do you think, and obviously you're in a position to know, what do you think about the Supreme Court challenge? When is it going to be heard, and what do you think the outcome will be?
Well, it sounds like the Supreme Court will address the question of whether or not Obamacare's individual mandate is constitutional this coming summer. But the important thing to remember here is that even without the individual mandate, the rest of Obamacare could possibly still stand. And it's crucial to maintain a focus on the negative aspects of every single part of the law, not just the individual mandate, because there's so much in there that is going to be harmful for Americans and their health care.
You've done extensive research, and I've read some of your material and some of your research. We've done a lot of research on the costs of Obamacare. For our listeners, share how devastating you believe those costs will be.
Sure. Well, you might hear a lot of people say that Obamacare reduced the deficit, but in practice, nothing could be further from the truth. And as we're discussing deficit reduction here in Washington, a repeal of Obamacare should definitely stay on the table and at the forefront of the discussion. What we've seen is that Obamacare, first of all, it increases spending by over $1 trillion in just one decade by expanding Medicaid and also by creating a new entitlement for health care for the low and middle income Americans. And so those two provisions alone, if we just got rid of those, would actually save about the amount that the super committee was tasked with finding. So as you can see, Obamacare cost the American people tremendously, and even though it raised taxes and cut spending in other entitlement programs to pay for it all, it's still going to cost us a lot. And as we move forward, I think we're going to see that a lot of those budget gimmicks and assumptions that went into that deficit reduction score are not going to come to light.
Let me ask you this question. In terms of Medicare, you hear a lot about Obamacare gutting Medicare. Obviously, a lot of seniors depend upon Medicare. Expand on that, if you would. Tell me how Obamacare guts Medicare and what the outcome is going to be.
Sure. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is that Medicare, as a federal program, faces tremendous insolvencies. We've promised benefits from this program to current and future seniors that we have not yet found a way to pay for. So moving forward, we definitely have to find a way to save this program by reducing its cost to taxpayers. Unfortunately, what Obamacare does is it finds $500 billion approximately in cuts in Medicare and uses them to pay for new spending rather than increasing the solvency of the program so that it can be maintained for future generations. And second of all, the way that it cuts Medicare is completely the wrong way to go about it. It kind of tinkers around the edges and cuts reimbursement payments for providers, which only hurts seniors' access to care. Instead, we really need to transform this program and go in a completely, fundamentally different direction.
It's interesting, and I hear this all the time, that the doctors are not taking new Medicare patients. Is that because their compensation is being cut, do you think?
Well, that's a big part of it, and we're already seeing problems with decreasing reimbursement caused by what we call the doc fix, which is that every year Congress is supposed to reduce physician payments according to a statutory update that would make it so much more difficult for them to continue to stay in their practices and to continue operating a business if they continue to see Medicare patients. So every year Congress delays these cuts because of the effect that it would have on seniors' access to the care that they need. And meanwhile, in Obamacare, they cut reimbursement for hospitals and other providers, so they just extended the same problem into other areas of Medicare coverage.
We're talking today to Catherine Nix, expert in Obamacare and senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation. In listening to people like Paul Ryan, for example, what are two or three or four conservative fixes or alternatives to Obamacare?
Well, I think we've definitely hit the nail on the head with Medicare reform and also Medicaid reform. Fixing our federal entitlements should be one of the first steps to fixing the healthcare system at large. From there, we need to change the federal tax treatment of insurance, which is inequitable and unfair. If Americans have employer-sponsored coverage, they may receive several thousand dollars in federal assistance. But meanwhile, someone who purchases insurance on their own in the individual market receives no assistance. So we need to tie coverage to the individual rather than to the place of employment, especially as we move into the 21st century and Americans don't stick with the same employer for as long as they may have in years past. And then from there, we need to encourage the states to implement insurance market reforms that make sense in that state. No federal one-size-fits-all solution is going to meet the needs of, you know, Utah and Massachusetts and Wisconsin, and every state across the country has different needs and a different demographic, different budgetary concerns, and will require different solutions.
That's good. No question about that. In my reading and reading your research, you wrote a piece called Top 10 Disasters of Obamacare. And as I read that, the number 8 is creates discrimination against low-income workers. Now, as I listened to the Democrats as they push through Obamacare, they said this was good for low-income workers. What do you mean when you say it creates discrimination against low-income workers?
Sure. Well, one of the biggest problems is that all Americans who fall under 138% of poverty are going to be put into Medicaid, which is a poorly performing program. And we can certainly do better in offering these people coverage in the private market, just like everybody else has, and assist them to do that. Second of all, the new law creates incentives for employers who have a high percentage of their workforce as low-income workers to actually dump the coverage that they have now so that those people would instead purchase insurance in the exchanges. Now, President Obama promised the American people that if they like the coverage that they have now, they would be able to keep it. But if your employer dumps coverage because of these perverse incentives, that's obviously not going to be the case.
Interesting. Perverse incentives. That's interesting how you put that, and I think very, very accurate. How about this one? You said disasters of Obamacare creates inequity in the exchanges. For our listeners, what exactly is the exchange, and how would that be inequitable?
Sure. Well, the exchanges are created under Obamacare as a place where Americans can purchase insurance, but it's really more than that. It's a way for the federal government to standardize and regulate the private coverage that they're purchasing and a way to administer the new federal subsidies. Now, the inequity comes into question in the treatment that we call the unequal treatment of equals. So say there's two Americans and they have the same income, they're neighbors, you know, they're exactly the same. If mm-hmm. one of them has an offer of employer-sponsored coverage, they may receive a couple thousand dollars, maybe, in tax benefits to offset the cost of their coverage. Meanwhile, someone else who looks exactly the same as them, who doesn't have employer-sponsored coverage, could receive several thousand dollars more in federal assistance to purchase insurance in the exchanges. So this is completely unfair, you know, helping one person significantly more than another, even though they have the same income, based solely on whether or not they have employer-sponsored coverage or not.
Well, sounds like crony capitalism to me.
We're just leaving in place the same broken system that we've had for a while now.
Don't you think Obamacare makes that dramatically worse than the system we had in the last 4 or 5 years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, before Obamacare, there's no question that we needed health care reform. And if the law is repealed, we'll still need to continue working on the health care system to make it better. But the fact of the matter is that the new law not only leaves in place the problems that we had before, but it creates several new ones by expanding the control of the federal government over private health insurance, over patients' interaction with their doctors, their use of healthcare resources, every corner of the healthcare system.
Got it. All right, we're talking today to Catherine Nix. She is a senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation, expert in Obamacare. And frankly, as I read your research, I found it fascinating, and I found it enlightening. For our listeners, if they want to read your research, find out about the Heritage Foundation, how would they do that?
Well, if they'd like to learn more about our research on Obamacare, they should visit heritage.org. And we also have put forth our own budget plan that includes reform of entitlement programs like Medicare and Medicaid, and that can be accessed at savingthedream.org.
Savingthedream.org?
That's right.
All right. Catherine, thanks so much for being with us. You've been a wonderful guest. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right.